Hello, everybody. Welcome to WGN Radio 720. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is the Startup Showcase. Technori being brought live from the Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. To hear that music playing on live radio, I don't even know what to say. Before we get started with this show, this introduction, this first edition of this show, I just want to thank everyone at WGN for the opportunity, and I want to thank everyone who is going to be on this show ahead of time for coming and making the time. The startup community and myself certainly appreciate it. This show is going to be incredible. I don't just say that like I do with every podcast we do, but I say that because it is our first one. It is, in my opinion, a Northwestern edition one. We've got the March Madness going on. Northwestern Wildcats won their first game. Hopefully they have a chance today against Gonzaga. But our guest today, Howard Tolman, he is the CEO of 1871. If you are not familiar with startups or you're not familiar with tech, he is probably the only name in Chicago that you definitely know. 1871, in my opinion, is the nexus. It is the center of the startup universe in Chicago. So to have him here on our first show is going to be incredible. He's going to offer up a lot of information that even I don't know about what's going on in Chicago tech and startups. Our next guest is also going to be Anthony Zioli, another person everyone knows in the startup community. He co-wrote the bill for the interest rate crowdfunding laws. So it's going to be very interesting to talk with him about what exactly you can do as a person in the community to get more involved with Chicago tech and startups. But first, let's talk about who I am and what this show is about and what we're planning on doing here. My name, as I said, is Scott Catoon. I run Technori, which is, in my opinion, it's Chicago's top startup showcase. It's been around since 2010, founded, co-founded by Seth Kravitz. At its very, very minimum, I call it very maximum, but at our very minimum core, we showcase startup talent. We showcase founders. We create a place for startup companies and founders and entrepreneurs and investors to get momentum, to meet their first client, to meet their first customer, to meet their first employee, get feedback, all these great things. And to date, we featured over 300 companies in over 80 events, and they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in venture funding. They employ over 3,000 people. They've gone on to some of the best startup incubators and accelerators in the world, Y Combinator, which you'll learn a lot about over the next few months or so, Techstars, which is based at 1871, where Howard Tolman is CEO. It is the quintessential starting ground, I would say, for the first entrepreneur to get out and tell the world who they are. We host lots and lots of events. Our monthly event is the final Tuesday of each month. This month, we're featuring all female founders. Keynote is Tasty Trade co-CEO Christy Ross. You can join 500 people and literally network and learn anything and everything that you want to know about Chicago tech. And so what we have done is brought this show to WGN Radio to make kind of a digital spin, to educate people who maybe don't have time to go to the events or simply just want to learn more about tech. I say who our target demographic is. I say it is anyone with an Apple Watch. If you've bought an Apple Watch, have an iPhone, not that we only do things with Apple, but if you have bought those products, I think you want to know how to use them and what all the apps and things that are on them and the websites and all the founders behind those crazy things. If you use Uber, do you want to know how that was built and why? This is the place where founders are going to come and tell their story. And I hope that you guys enjoy it. I know it's going to be a really cool journey. And I cannot wait, absolutely cannot wait to start this now. So I think we should probably bring on Howard Tolman. And I think from there, we'll kick this off and have an incredible show. We are back in studio at WGN Radio AM 720. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is the first edition of the Startup Showcase. Joining us live is 1871 CEO Howard Tolman, as promised. Howard, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. This is, as mentioned to you in the email that I sent to you, this is the very first show that we are doing under the new Startup Edition on WGN. So very excited to have you as the first host.
Good.
First guest.
Good. It's probably will be your oldest guest ever.
No, I've got a couple people on the list who I know for sure older than you. They definitely move slower. You're everywhere in the city. So this is the introduction to the audience of what the startup community is. And I think it's a perfect time. Chicago is now gaining traction. Not that it didn't have it before, but it's gaining traction in a public way now. People are starting to recognize.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought it would be perfect to bring you in because, you know, obviously you've been involved in startups and entrepreneurship forever, speaking of age.
Right.
But 1871 is the place that if you go out into the suburbs and they don't really know what tech and startups are, I actually had a person the other day call startups the triple W, which is unbelievable. I mean, it's WWW, and people are still referring it to that out in the suburbs, not to crash on people. But the one place that they do know is 1871. So if you could explain to people first and foremost what 1871 is.
So when when we started 1871, it was intended to create a sort of a town square, a central place where all of the resources, all of the tools you would need to start and build a new business would be available. And started with 50 companies and about 50,000 square feet. Today we have about 500 companies, about 2,000 people a day, and about 170,000 square feet. We've graduated a couple of hundred companies. They've raised a few hundred million dollars and created about 8,000 jobs. So we're excited. We have the universities there. We have schools there. We have venture capital funds there. We have a whole bunch of, you know, partnerships with large and small corporations, about 800 or 900 mentors who really help coach the company. So this year they'll do about 7,000 hours of coaching. And then we do an enormous number of educational and other kinds of events, so about 1,000 events a year and about 350 technical workshops.
Very cool. And there's two parts that you mentioned that I think are going to be particularly interesting to our audience today and going forward. The first one is, I think there's a misconception that the large companies, the big corporations you mentioned who are partners who help fund a lot of the crazy growth that we're seeing, that there's a big difference between a large corporation and the startups, and that they're, you know, one day if the startups are lucky, that they'll grow into this big corporation. And they miss—
that would be their worst nightmare.
Right? That's what I said. That's the deal. What they miss is the fact that these big corporations are looking to startups for ideas.
And, yeah, for sure.
And I think that what you have grown at 1871, well, staying out of the political scape here, has done a huge service to the state of Illinois when it comes down to recruiting and bringing large corporations to Chicago and Illinois as a whole.
Yeah, I think this is the fourth year now that Chicago leads the country for tech relocations, tech headquarter relocations. The other metric that's really interesting is the Chicago economy is pretty diverse, but 4 years ago, tech wasn't even a player in terms of the no single part of the economy is more than about 12%, 12 or 13%. Today, tech is about 11%, and that represents just in the MART around 11,000 jobs.
Well, you know, it's funny. So when I, speaking to that, when I first graduated from Northwestern, I started an innovation in media company, which is ultimately how I got here to WGN. And at the time, I had the hardest time, whether the client was a very early stage growth company all the way up to large corporations, explaining them the importance and value of investing in innovation and investing in new technology, or at the very minimum, just investing in learning about it so that it could be a tool.
Well, when the big companies come to see us, and they do all the time, I mean, we have a pretty robust innovation program, they say five things. They say, number one is they're not generating enough new ideas internally. Number two, the people that built the stuff won't break it, so they're trying to bandage things that need to be busted up and rethought. Number three, they can't attract these young workforces, and digital or creative. Number four, they're doing things in years that need to be done in months, because these RFPs actually age out before they're even done. And then they're scared to death that because anybody under 30 barely reads, that they don't know how they're going to transfer all their domain and institutional expertise to the next generation of workers.
And number six, where do we get the nice 1871 t-shirt?
Yeah, t-shirt, you know, all kinds of swag. We've got a store
you guys
now.
Have
you
that
can
down.
Get whatever you want.
I have said this many times that as a member and having been at 1871 many, many times, that one of the coolest parts is as an early stage company, particularly if you're young and you're not coming out of, you know, a larger job, is the, in a literal sense, the incubation. The amount of large companies that I can rub shoulders with, at the very minimum, say hi or maybe pester them a little bit as they're walking through the hall with you.
Yeah, and VCs,
you
know, a lot of entrepreneurs. You know, people think that 1871 is all, you know, 20-year-old complexion-challenged young men. And the truth is we have young people, for sure. We have serial entrepreneurs who've done it and are of the view that why would I invest in real estate or furniture or whatever until I know if my new idea is going to go. We have career changers who are people that have done stuff for 20 years and now want to do something completely different. And then we have this amazing group of people with really substantial domain expertise and no technology. And we marry them to young technologists. And
which,
it's a great combination.
It is. And it leads to sort of the next piece that you brought up, which I think is important for our audience. And that is the educational piece. What I find to be most unique, most valuable. I mean, obviously the as you mentioned, the VCs and things are valuable to the individual startups. But from a community standpoint, what I think is most valuable is the ability to provide coding and different sort of educational pieces on how to students, particularly younger and maybe disadvantaged, as well as older folks that really would love to know more about this, but flat out don't know where to start.
Yeah. So we have about a dozen schools now, and they train post-college mostly folks in high-end digital skills. So coding, UI, UX, design. We'll have about 500 students this year, and we'll hire about 400 of the 500 ourselves for our companies. So we have two full-time recruiters. But we're also just about to announce a new program teaching entrepreneurship in the high schools. Yep. And so that'll be a chance to push some of this stuff out as well.
How would you, if you could say to people, I mean, I guess you can because you've got the mic in front of you.
Yeah.
How would you ask people who maybe have never been involved in tech at all to first dip their toe in? What would be that first thing you would say when it comes down to, if you're interested, how do you want to get involved first?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure there's anyone in the world today who is not involved in tech. Yeah. You know, I mean, what's really interesting is that, you know, we now are so attached to our phones that, you know, we don't even think of that as technology. But, you know, that's a powerful tool. And I think, you know, if you want to get involved, I mean, we're really only B2B, so we're only focused on business to business kinds of new ideas. But I think, you know, you have to start to attend events. You know, Technori is a perfect example, but there's hundreds of things that go on just at 1871 every month. And you can get exposure to pretty much anything. Now, the other thing that has helped introduce new kinds of populations to what we're doing are our specific incubators. So we have a huge incubator around veterans. We have an incubator. We'll do three cohorts this year around women entrepreneurs. We have the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce has an incubator for Hispanic businesses. And so those are new populations. And we're really excited to be able to introduce them to all the resources and technology tools at 1871.
Well, I think that's huge. I mean, obviously this month, as you mentioned, the Technori event is female focused. The whole founders are
sure.
Are
and
all
Christy's
female.
On our board as an example. Yep. And Tom just did a Technori thing not too long ago.
Yep. So, you know, I think what is particularly cool about this is we are, at least in my opinion, I hopefully your opinion, are becoming the most diverse, inclusive tech community in the world. And just in my personal opinion.
Well, we were already identified as the best place for a female entrepreneur to start a business. That's no, sort of a known fact, but you know, 1871 is about 30 or 40% diverse. I think our staff is 50-50 or better, and so you're right. And by the way, you can't really have effective innovation without inclusion. You just can't. You don't get enough new ideas and enough input. I always think back to the airbags, which killed a lot of women and children because the average guy for the airbags was about 5'10", and he was a guy, right? Yeah. And it took years for them to figure out that they had to adjust the airbags so they weren't smacking women in the face or crushing little kids and things like that. You know, if they had been in the room, that might not have been a design mistake because they might have had somebody saying, well, what do you do for folks that aren't giants?
Well, that's just it. And we talk about this all the time on the show. I mean, our commitment has always been 50% female founders, 50% male, and at least a third minority represented on stage because that's the population we live in. And ultimately, when I look at those who are not inclusive, I just think it's foolish, not just because of like obviously PC and rights and things, but simply why would you exclude half of the conversation, half of the brains in the room, half of the experiences in the world? I don't understand why people would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I
think it's a comfort thing. I mean, our goal is that 1871 should look like the city of Chicago ultimately. And, you know, some of the things we're doing digitally to push content out to the communities is really important because we want it to be available not simply to the people that can make it downtown.
Well, yeah, and so I guess that actually leads to another question about, are you guys planning on getting more in the webcast space and doing more online video and educational pieces for people who maybe can't make it downtown?
Yeah, we have a whole strategy around content libraries. The trick, and that's going to continue to increase. We're doing a fair amount of web streaming, but you know, I wrote a piece not too long ago about why your webcast sucks. And the truth is that a lot of people think that you just turn on something and you stream this stuff. And that's not anything that any other human being will ever watch. You know, maybe in real time, they'll watch it for a few minutes. But people don't understand these things have to be edited and produced and probably shot with two cameras. And to create something that people want to see, is a big undertaking. So we are building a library, you know, talking about libraries, the city of Chicago has 220 video equipped libraries. So that's a way to push content out. And we'll be doing a lot more webcasting, podcasts, and things like that. We have a podcast studio, obviously. We now have a video studio and a crew. So we're increasing the content creation because that's really what's being consumed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't plan on going here with you, but now that you mentioned the content side of this, I think it's really important as we look at some of the older folks as well, some of the younger, and even the younger who are in high school and under, how do we continue to shape the experience that we provide them both educationally as well as just overall, you know, just being able to entertain themselves? How do we continue to stay on that cutting edge with not getting, I don't know what the right word is, but not getting too focused on the nuances of how you film things? But, you know,
I think that the saddest thing in the world is to hear kids say that the most boring place they go is school. So, I mean, I think we're going to have to re-envision the whole educational process because it's just not connecting with the kids. They don't want to just sit there and have somebody talk to them. So we're building some new interactive classrooms, and they'll actually be installed in a few high schools in the course of the next few months. And we'll see, but I think you're going to have video content. You're going to have interactivity. The kids are going to have their individual devices so they can each learn at their own pace. And the teacher's going to take on a whole different role.
Well, I look forward to everything that you guys continue to do at 1871. I want to thank you so much for coming here and spending
time
with us.
Glad to be here.
This was awesome to have you as my first guest. I really cannot thank you enough.
Great.
Awesome. Man, do I love to hear that song on live radio. I can't even believe it. We're back in studio at WGN AM 720. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is the first ever edition of the Startup Showcase. Joining us in a few minutes here is going to be an otherworldly attorney at law and partner at Freeborn, Anthony Zioli. Anthony's going to be here to talk about crowdfunding, equity crowdfunding in particular, intrastate, good word, equity crowdfunding even more in particular. This is an area that is, for a multitude of reasons, near and dear to my heart. I'm hoping that with this show, it's going to become near and dear to your heart because it is quite simply the easiest way for every single person, the every man, to get involved with tech companies, to have a vested interest in it. A lot of times we use on stage or on the other podcasts, we have Technori Live at WGN Plus. We talk a lot about all the startup companies trying to raise money. And many, many times the investors are names that you've seen in the newspaper and it's millions and millions of dollars. But what you don't realize is, you can invest $25, $50, $100, and even more in any startup you want and sort of wet your beak, if you will, to learn more about it and get involved. And I don't think a lot of people know about this. And why we have Anthony in is because he knows more than I will ever know about this, hopefully. And we also want to kind of set the record straight because I think that a lot of the coverage that equity crowdfunding has gotten is sort of, I don't want to say misleading because that's not entirely true, but it certainly doesn't tell the whole picture. Anthony, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming and taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Scott.
So you and I are going to, we're going to stay off of the pulpit on this. I'm going to try at least. I'm actually probably more likely to fall off and say all kinds of things I shouldn't, but I'm going to lead this by saying this. I view equity crowdfunding, and this is even before it was in startups. This is before Title III and Interstate. This is looking at the real estate, which is where I think if anyone has ever heard of equity crowdfunding, it's in real estate. And if you've heard of crowdfunding in general, you're probably thinking Indiegogo, Kickstarter, which again, Kickstarter, co-founder Charles Adler, Chicago. So we've got a lot of connections to even that. But what people don't know is it is the total democratization of the investment process. It enables anyone to get involved.
Absolutely.
And I think that people need to understand, to put this in perspective, and I know I've said this to you probably more times than you want to hear, and I'm sure you've said this a million times as well. The perfect example I always use is Oculus. The average person contributed, Oculus being the VR platform that Facebook mm-hmm. bought for like $2.7 billion. Yeah. The average person, when that was on Kickstarter a few years ago, contributed $500. And for that $500, they got one Oculus headset about 9 months later, and a couple t-shirts and some really pretty stickers. Had they been equity crowdfunding, they would have gotten their Oculus. They might have gotten the stickers, but they definitely would have gotten a check for about $30,000 if you contributed $500 when that got bought by Facebook.
Absolutely.
That is the importance and the impact of this. You could have invested $500 in Oculus and had a $30,000 check. Now, of course, that's not, you know, the norm.
Yeah.
But that is the impact this can have.
Absolutely.
why do you think people, and not just people, news organizations, startups, people in Chicago haven't jumped on it now that we have it available?
Because we haven't moved past the connection with the word crowdfunding to Indiegogo and Kickstarter.
I didn't help a t-shirt.
No, but that shows the difference specifically as to what we're moving into now. It's more than people just giving money to get a t-shirt or to get an idea off the ground. You're actually investing in the company. So what I like to think of and I tell people is Kickstarter and Indiegogo, see that as helping an idea stage. Somebody that's really just pushing an idea. If you like the idea, give money to help get that idea off the ground. Equity crowdfunding, and it's actually debt-based crowdfunding, is you're investing in the business. They have what they're going to do. They have their idea. You're helping them move that forward, and you're becoming part of that business. You're an investor. So you're going to be able to take off when they take off.
I think that's probably, you know, I honestly, and we've had a lot of conversations, but yet I never thought of it until just now, which is a good time to think of it. I don't think that the reporters themselves, the people who write on this, I think that they are telling the story from the crowdfunding standpoint, like I just did myself. And thinking that I'm going to help you relate to this and understand it better. And actually what I did there was sort of put you in the wrong direction because I ended up telling you about the product side of things and not the business side of things. And I guess you just did it right. The truth is equity crowdfunding gives you the ability to invest in a business and not just a product or a goofy idea.
Yeah.
And that is the part that is tremendous. So I want people with this show, obviously I would love everyone right now to go and look up equity crowdfunding and interstate crowdfunding and learn about it. But trust me, with me as the host, you're going to have plenty of time to confer with the best lawyer on the earth here, the partner. I'm just kidding. But you're going to have plenty of time to learn about it. But what I would like you to kind of talk about is the impact that this could have on Chicago from the economy standpoint and Illinois as a whole.
Absolutely. So there are multiple different ways of equity crowdfunding or just investment-based crowdfunding. Let's call it investment-based because it can be equity or debt. So you could actually be lending money. So this is an investment-based crowdfunding. We have multiple different levels. There's Title III, which is a national level, which are certain platforms. But now we have one here specifically in Illinois called Interstate Crowdfunding. It basically will allow an Illinois company to raise up to $4 million from both accredited and non-accredited investors. So basically anybody walking around the street in Illinois. You can put out advertisements here in Illinois. You can turn your customers, your clients, your friends, your family, your whole social media component, as long as they live here in Illinois, can invest in your company. And they can invest as far as equity, or they can lend you money and get interest back, just like any other loan. So it's a way for it's an easy way. We've set up an easy structure, a very simplistic structure, to be able to put these offerings out by companies on a price-effective way and allow investors to come in.
And what I think is cool about this is it sort of demystifies the, you know, personally coming into this, if you're not a finance person or, you know, the only thing you've ever done with an exchange of equity and things is like in a mortgage or a home or something like that, mm-hmm. you really don't understand the nuances and the complexity, the sophistication of investing. You have to have a certain amount of money to be accredited, and the process of getting in and learning about companies might be too daunting. There's so many companies I hear that they all fail. You know, and of course, the entrepreneurs don't help by saluting all the failure and constantly celebrating it. That doesn't help us on the investment side. But what it does do is enables you to really learn a heck of a lot and get involved in companies in a plethora and learn a lot about the nuances of running a startup, of learning a business, jumping a business, getting involved for a very small amount of money. And maybe there's a big upside, maybe not. We'll see. But I think it's a unique way. It should be, to me, a unique tool to get more people from the community of Chicago and greater Illinois to come down and see what's going on in Chicago tech, which is, you know, to me is great.
Well, absolutely. If you look at what we've put in here in Illinois, we were fifth in the world in supporting these regular crowdfunding. We did $50 million on a state level and $30 million on a Chicago alone level. So if we were just able to move that money to something where they're actually investing in and able to make, and those investors can make money and then circulate it again into the economy, I mean, just think about that impact alone. Now you have the fact that money follows money. So when higher end investors see these products that are getting invested in, they're throwing money in too. So there's a multiplier effect.
And there's another thing there that is really cool is that it doesn't have to just be taking away money from some of the other crowdfunding things that are going on that are not equity. The reality is most of those, Indiegogo is a great example, just not that it's different than Kickstarter, but there's so many one-time products. Mm-hmm. And there's a handful of inventors that have built companies around their multiple products. But for the most part, it's one-off products. This actually enables me to invest in companies that don't have a product. They may be a service, or it might be you know, some sort of treatment. It could be, you know, a mission-based thing. It could be creating a way to disrupt a financial model. I mean, there's so many different things that you can actually invest in the outcome on.
And that's actually a really good point. What's been the strongest support for crowdfunding in general from investment side is finding a passion to what you're investing in, both on the regular crowdfunding level and even when you start getting into the investment side. You're not just doing it at a pure profit. I mean, it could be a really good profit ratio, but there is definitely a social component to it or something you actually believe in.
Anthony, I want to keep talking about this, and there's some other examples of things that I think are cool. Would you stick around for a little bit after we take a quick break?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we are going to take a quick break to commercial. I'm Scott Catoon. This is WGN AM 720. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm Scott Catoon, and we're back in studio at WGN Radio with crowdfunding expert Tony Zioli. Anthony Zioli, I just did the cool Tony there.
All right. That's much. I prefer Tony anyway.
I don't know why I've been calling you Anthony this whole time. I felt awkward writing in an email, so to be totally honest. We're here with Tony Zioli, who's a crowdfunding expert. We have been talking about startups. We have been talking about tech. We've been talking about crowdfunding and how to get involved. Our previous guest was Howard Tolman. It was a great way to kick this first show off. Anthony, Tony Zioli, here talking about crowdfunding. Where we left off was sort of getting people to understand a little bit better about what the opportunity is. But I want to make sure that people know that while this is new, relatively speaking, given the fact that it's been about May of 2016 when people were really able to get involved here, it's not new to the community. It's not new to tech. This isn't like an unproven sort of Wild West scenario that's going on, right?
No.
Downtown, so we hosted in January as kind of a test, a beta, if we're going to use tech terms on a tech show. We did a beta on what exactly people might think about crowdfunding. So January 31st, we hosted a Technori showcase. It was completely dedicated to startup companies who were doing an active crowdfunding campaign. And I want to give people an idea of how impactful this has been. And I don't even know if I've told you these numbers. I think there's no way I didn't, but they were pretty cool. So we had a show run at Chase Auditorium from approximately 7 p.m. to about 8:15. And during that period of time, we had about 535 people in attendance. They invested over $12,000 on four of the five companies that were currently crowdfunding on stage. And from that date, January 31st to date, over $340,000 has been invested in those four companies, including two that have been raised over $150,000, one of which was in a story in the paper the other day, Parachute founder, female-led company, mm-hmm. led by Desiree Vargas Wrigley. She actually had to go back and file another form yep. because she had maxed out her raise.
Yep, they have to run a second round, yep.
And so she closes up. I think she has about 10 days. We're going to try to have her on Saturday next week so people can kind of ask some questions about it and learn more. But my end point here is, this isn't uncharted territory. People are doing this, and we've already seen, you know, a lot of interest. Imagine being a company trying to get off the ground and being able to pull $150,000 or $200,000 from your friends and family.
Absolutely. I mean, this just since May, like you said, for the Title III, so that's the national level version, but just since May, they've raised over $22 million for 81 companies, which, you know, is a little bit slower of a start than we thought because of the excitement,
sure.
but that's nothing to scoff at. I mean, we have 81 successful rounds and $22 million of funding in less than 12 months.
You know what? I say this at the start of companies, and not just about crowdfunding, about any business. I never scoff at a dollar. I never say, oh my goodness, you know, I expected more. Like every dollar that is committed and is invested in companies in Chicago, I'm grateful and thankful for it. Mm-hmm. And we do our absolute best as persons who work with startups to make sure that they use that dollar right and that they create more opportunity in Chicago. But I just think that now with crowdfunding in particular and the fact that this is a new tool that, in my opinion, completely modernizes what the friends and family round is. In the past, for those who are not familiar, you know, typically when you start a business, whether it's a pizzeria or a, you know, brand new dating app, doesn't matter what it is, you usually reach out to the rich uncle or some friend or some person you work with or a couple friends and pool some cash together. And you build an MVP and usually you outsource to like India and it's a complete disaster and it crashes and you run out of money and that's the end of that.
Yep.
Imagine if you were able to rely on your entire network of friends, family, you know, buddies from college, give me a shot at building this the right way. And then go to the investors and the people in the community and say, hey, look what we built. We're proven that I know what I'm doing and actually start raising some money. And I just think that this is such a cool tool, and I can't wait to have all the people listening to this show learn more about it, and I can't wait to have more companies, and this is the thing I want you to speak on now, is more companies to reach out to us and ask, how can we use this tool?
Yeah, I think they're just starting to feel more because we got to get more news stories covering the investment side versus the Kickstarter side, like this program thing. Thankfully, you know, we're getting the news out there that you can actually invest in this way. And it goes all the way from the tech community down to like the small business owner, like you said. Just out of Indiana, we heard last week that they had the first successful interest rate crowdfunding exit. So it's Scott's Brewery out of Indiana. They have, I think it was Scott's Brewery, about 16 locations. And when they were younger, they did a crowdfunding round and then now sold off the entire unit to a bidder. Investors got paid out, so they had a full exit. So that's helping the community go to the next level restaurant, get multiple units, and then go all the way to an exit and actually get paid out.
Well, so irresponsibly, I haven't plugged your other side of the business, which is Vestlo, and yes. I want to make sure that we do that. And I left it to the end for a reason, because we need to educate people on the fact that there are multiple different types of equity crowdfunding and ways to do this. And your focus, not that it's entirely just intrastate, but it's a little different in offers, potentially can offer Chicagoans benefits outside of just investing in a cool company. So
absolutely.
If you want to talk a little bit about what Vestlo is, and then we'll kind of wrap up talking about how you and I and the community that we're hopefully are listening to us right now can help educate themselves and how they can get more startup companies to come check us out. And you don't need to sign up. I just want you to come and ask a question.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Vestlo is the first approved interstate crowdfunding portal here in Illinois. It's meant to set up Illinois companies to do crowdfunding from Illinois residents. So we have three offerings up there now. You know, one is a gym that has three locations or is two locations going for its third. We have a good social component. It's going to be a real estate development company focusing specifically on Southside developments and hiring Southside people. And then we have another greeting card company has three successful locations looking to franchise. So these are real businesses that are trying to improve. They're not, you know, startup, you know, nothing out of the box. These are actually money producing companies. We also have next week is going to be a Lincoln Park real estate development of 16 units. So we're trying to just show at the first round the variety of projects that you can put up there. But I think it's going to be used for any kind of business, anything from a real estate project to a tech company, to anything that is investable here in Illinois. And the intent is that we allow Illinois investors to invest in Illinois businesses and keep that money local and create local jobs.
What would you say is the one, and not that there's only one, but with a big differentiator that people need to know when they start? Because, you know, I think that one of the major problems is you start researching things and you go down kind of a wormhole and you get lost. When I look at Title III versus interstate versus any other type of crowdfunding, what would you say the one differentiator for each of the major types of crowdfunding that people should be looking for as a key? Like, I know this is different because what?
If you're going to do intrastate, that means you're focusing specifically on your state around you. Only residents within the specific state can do that. Yep. If you want to support your state, then look for ones that focus specifically on that. If you're looking to support smaller businesses and get involved, then you're looking for quote-unquote Title III or regulation crowdfunding sites, basically something that says they allow for unaccredited investors to participate.
So one question I would have to you then on the interstate side is, can interstate funds invest in outside companies, or is it like if I'm investing in interstate, I have to invest as an Illinois person, I have to invest in Illinois companies only?
It depends on the way it's set up. It could theoretically be done. We're working on doing something like that now to be able to make that happen.
Okay, because I feel like the one thing that would be most advantageous is if I could take advantage of all of the many companies that are on both coasts, but spread my wealth out. And I think ultimately that would help out Illinois as well.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Anthony, Tony, Zioli, this has been really, really cool. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You are my number two guest of all time. Hopefully that goes down.
I'll go with number two.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. We have to take one more break. I'm Scott Catoon. This is WGN Radio. I'm Scott Catoon. Welcome back to WGN Radio. This has been your first episode of the Startup Showcase. I hope you enjoyed it. We are going to be heading off now, but I want to make sure I plug our next event, Technori Showcase, Startup Showcase, which is featuring all female founders. Keynote Christy Ross, who's a Chicago-based TastyTrade co-CEO, will be held at Chase Auditorium at 6 p.m., and that would be March 28th. That's a Tuesday, so that's next Tuesday. Tickets are available at technori.events. And if you use WGN promo code, you will save yourself a whopping 25%. Before I head out here, I want to welcome Dane Neal, who's coming up next.